and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. There's confusion over federal funding and grants after the White House Budget Office ordered all aid paused to review whether it complies with President Trump's executive orders. ABC's chief Washington correspondent Jonathan Carl says
this directive may be the most far-reaching executive action this White House has taken yet. It could potentially halt hundreds of billions of dollars in federal spending on everything from assistance to farmers to Head Start programs to disaster relief and public transportation.
Social Security and Medicare are the only programs exempt from the order. Higher profile immigration enforcement continues. Federal agents said they made nearly 1,200 arrests on Monday. The Senate could vote today on confirming Sean Duffy as transportation secretary. There will be a new senator from Michigan after Democrat Gary Peter says he will not run for re-election next year. And after Monday's sell-off, shares in NVIDIA are trading higher. This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz. On Friday, the Wisconsin Supreme Court agreed to hear arguments in a lawsuit over $50 million of funding to overhaul how public schools teach their students to read. Republican lawmakers sued Governor Tony Evers following line item vetoes on the bill, which gave the Department of Public Instruction the authority to decide how that money is spent rather than the state legislature. Since that partial veto, the Republican-controlled legislature has refused to release the funding, which could lead to the money being added to the budget surplus. Wisconsin nonprofits that support victims of domestic violence are looking for solutions as federal funding cuts limit their ability to continue offering their current level of service. According to a WPR report, a number of those nonprofits are now facing significant delays and backlog with reduced funding through the Victims of Crime Act, forcing them to reduce staff and sometimes even turn away cases that they would have otherwise accepted. Some organizations have reported losing as much as 70% of their funding through VOCA. The Wisconsin Natural Resources Board has approved an increase in the bear harvest quota for 2025, as well as an increase in the number of licenses issued. Under the new regulations, the bear quota will be raised by 6% to nearly 4,100 bears, and the number of licenses issued will be raised by 14% to over 13,000. The changes come after an especially strong bear hunting season in 2024, which saw hunters harvest about 4,300 bears. The 2023 bear season saw less than 3,000 bears harvested in total. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
The Badgers move up in the rankings. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball. The Wisconsin Badgers have moved up a few spots. Now the 17th ranked team in the nation. Head coach Greg Gard on where he hopes they can improve.
You know, trying to be, from an offensive standpoint, if we can be top 10 in the country, which we are now. Defensively, we felt we needed to climb to be top 25 in order to be really elite. Because if you look across the country of who's in that category, it's some pretty high-powered teams. So defensively, we needed it. We were hovering in the 50s. We need to continue to grow that.
The Badgers head to Maryland to take on the Terrapins tomorrow night. NBA. The Bucks with a 125-110 win over the Utah Jazz. Damian Lillard and Giannis Antetokounmpo both scoring 35 points. Andre Jackson ejected with a flagrant foul with less than a minute to play. Baseball. The Brewers adding closing pitcher John Axford to the team's Wall of Fame. Axford had 46 saves in 2011, a franchise single season record. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Windy and warm today. With mostly sunny skies, winds will whip up to 40 miles per hour, shoving our high temperatures to near 50 degrees. Overnight, winds switch to out of the northwest, becoming blustery and cooling us down just a touch tomorrow. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Right now, it's 35. The Todd Alba Show.
The argument from my former party has been, it's not the guns, it's mental health. Well, no worries, folks. Governor Evers has got you covered. He introduced a plan to put millions of dollars into mental health, particularly for young kids. And the Republicans in the chamber did not clap. If you can't be it for kids, then what the heck can you be for? Jeepers, criminy.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Seems everywhere in the state, housing has just gotten so expensive. Our current president ran on promises to help the middle class, and I'd like to know what he's going to do about the housing shortages. I went through the executive orders. I read through the speech transcript a couple of times. Nothing he really said or did in the first couple days has anything to do with helping the middle class.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local civic media radio station and on the civic media app. Earl Ingram.
On the next show, we'll talk with Flack and the campaign for lead-free water before discussing how the biggest stories in national politics affect us in Wisconsin with Dr. Craig from Citizen Action.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10. News from the Center, WRCE.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenoff back from his day off. Coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. Join us. You can call or text. It is the same number, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Reminder, Wisconsin Badgers men's hoops going east. It's another Big Ten matchup. They take on Maryland tomorrow night. Our coverage here in Civic Media starts at 5 p.m. You can listen to the Badgers on WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids, on WRCE in Richland Center, WRJN in Racine and Kenosha, and also WLAK in Amory.
Amory.
Thank you. On the Civic Media app. So if you haven't downloaded it yet, it is completely free. Go to wherever you get your apps. Look for Civic, C-I-V-I-C, Civic Media. Download the Civic Media app. And you can call and text directly to any show across the state. And again, you can listen to the game tomorrow night. Wisconsin men's basketball heading out to take on Maryland. Our coverage starts tomorrow night at 5 p.m. On the way this hour, we will have a traitor update. Donald Trump pardoning all 1,500-plus people who attacked and were convicted of attacking the U.S. Capitol on January 6th of 2021. Where are they now? It's been a whole week.
Was it? Today is Tuesday. I think he did it either a week ago tomorrow.
Just about a week.
Yeah.
Yeah, just about a week.
Just.
Where are they now?
Yep.
We'll have a little update for you coming up at 11:20. At 11:30, this was a big story. This teacher, former chancellor, at UW-La Crosse, who was fired over making pornography with his partner, has filed a federal lawsuit. He wants his job back. John Gao wants his job back. So we're curious about whether or not you think he should get his job back. He wasn't doing anything illegal.
Nope, he committed zero crimes.
Zero crimes. And then we'll wrap up the show, as we always do, with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it's the Oh Baby edition. Stay tuned for that.
I thought of a really fun name, actually, for it.
Too late.
Darn it!
You'll have to throw it in towards the end.
I will, trust me, I will.
We're going to continue with our ongoing segment of Getting to Know Brad. Brad Schimmel running against Susan Crawford for an open spot on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. He's got some things.
Some thoughts.
Brad Schimmel said yesterday that he thinks that anyone who was convicted of assaulting law enforcement officers should serve their entire sentence. But he did not object to Donald Trump using his power to pardon. Trump received bipartisan criticism for granting clemency last week to about 1,500 rioters convicted of crimes related to the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol. I believe we have some sound from Mr. Schimmel.
Yeah, we have. Yeah, it's kind of a back and it's a weird mix of sounds.
Is this from CBS Upfront?
It's from CBS, and then it's also from another news report talking about the entire thing. So go
Calvin, ahead, Calvin. Let's play that clip, please.
This race also comes against the backdrop of some conservatives calling for a shakeup of the justice system after what they described as an overreach under Biden. Trump pardoned, for instance, 1,500 January 6th defendants.
That's against the law. They should be prosecuted and held accountable. And judges should impose sentences that are just under the circumstances. I've also said, though, that the United States Supreme Court had to finally recognize that prosecutors in Washington, D.C. overreached.
Attorney General Brad Schimmel, running for the state Supreme Court seat on the April ballot, has spoken out on the pardons of January 6th attackers. Schimmel says that President Trump does have the power to do that, as other presidents have done in history as well. He says he doesn't object to a president using the pardon power. He also said anyone who is violent towards police officers should be held accountable.
So that's less than a minute long, Jane. And there is a lot happening in all of that. I like couldn't cut it in a way that sounded coherent.
Right.
Because in the beginning, he says they absolutely should be prosecuted. Okay.
Right. And then.
But there was overreach.
Right.
But then. President Trump is okay to pardon people. But then those who attack and are violent against the police should be prosecuted in jail. So I guess the question is, Brad, where do you fall on anything?
Well, yeah, a hard stand, perhaps.
I mean, that's not even flip-flopping. That's just you're just trying to cover all the bases to make sure everyone just you please everyone.
Well, you can't tick off the great leader.
No.
You not a, dare not tick not off
all.
Trump.
Not at all.
Or you're going to be in major trouble.
Yeah.
Brad Schimmel quoted in the Associated Press, anyone convicted of assaulting law enforcement should serve their full sentence. Attacking our men and women in uniform is never acceptable in our society, unquote. But he stopped short of specifically saying Trump should not have pardoned those who attacked police.
So do you hear that, folks? That tap dancing?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how do you make it work every day of your life? To me, the logic that let me rephrase that. Their version of logic they have to adhere to is so crazy.
It's got to be exhausting.
Like it's like when you were a little kid, you told a lie, then you told another lie to cover up the original lie.
It gets complicated.
Then all of a sudden you say, "Well, you said this thing, but now you're saying this thing because before you said that thing." Now you're sitting here saying they should be prosecuted, but there was overreach. The president can pardon them, but violent offenders should be serve their sentences. Where do you fall, Brad? I mean, you have a commercial where you're standing around a bunch of sheriffs. I mean, one of them has an impressive history of
allegations.
Of allegations, but you're a guy who backs the blue, and apparently the blue backs you. So where are you on this? Why didn't you vehemently vehemently speak down on this the pardons for people who attacked police officers?
Just within hours, remember, this is one of the first things he did.
Yeah.
One of the very first things Donald Trump did when he returned to the Oval Office, issuing a sweeping clemency order covering around 1,500 rioters for their role in the Capitol attack. Pardons, yes, have generated pushback from some, including U.S. Rep. Derek Van Orten.
Well, he knows what happened. He was there.
He was on the call with Schimmel. He told the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel he did not support pardoning those who attacked police officers. A former U.S. Capitol officer who was there on the day of the attack is going to be in town today. Harry Dunn is going to be here today. Maggie Dawn will have him on her show later on this afternoon from 2 to 4 p.m. It's going to be a fantastic interview with Harry Dunn.
Yeah.
I can't imagine how those officers feel about this, that all of these people who were yelling profanities at them and calling them traitors and spraying them with bear spray and hitting them with flagpoles.
And their own weapons.
And their own, yes, using their own weapons against them. And essentially, Donald Trump said, well, my people couldn't be expected to go over all 1,500 cases individually. It was too onerous.
That's the other thing that we want to make perfectly clear, and we're going to keep saying that. They could have pardoned the nonviolent offenders.
Absolutely, I think a lot of people would have been okay with that.
But they didn't. They just did a blanket pardon because it was too much work.
Too much work.
Oh, man, too much work to read stuff. But instead, just all released. And I want to make one thing very clear, too, because we have not a lot of people have talked about this. You speaking of Derek Van Orden. Mm-hmm. Derek Van Orden calling one of those Capitol Police officers, Michael Fanone, quote, a self-aggrandizing, grifting jackass. As a man who suffered massive injury and trauma and had a heart attack on January 6th because of the traitors that you were hanging out with, and you have the temerity and the nerve to call him that, I thought you backed the blue, buddy.
Did he not see the videotape of Michael Fanone being dragged into the crowd and having his own weapons used against him as he got tased repeatedly? And the only reason, by his own testimony, that they backed off on him was because he said he had kids.
Yeah. No, I'm sure Derek, D. Derek, fan bully, didn't see that at all. He was too busy not helping the farmers, but that's beside the point.
Brad Schimmel. Back to Brad Schimmel.
Oh, yes, him, Brad.
Is endorsed in this Supreme Court race by more than 70 sheriffs in Wisconsin. The Milwaukee Police Association and the Waukesha County Police Chiefs Association. Someone should ask those organizations how they feel about this. Or are these patriots? Were they all patriots?
I have a feeling that our calls, our letters, and our emails would not be responded to.
I have a feeling that you're right.
I mean, it's this is am I wrong? Is this not hypocrisy?
But again, we're at a point where that doesn't matter. I've seen on numerous cable outlets where they have a Republican claiming one thing, and they bring up the video and play it for said Republican, where they say the exact opposite thing.
Yep.
And they go, yeah, well, whatever.
Yeah.
It's like, yes, those are my words, and I said those words. And but now I I'm going to ignore that I said those things.
It's a double standards, and there are no consequences. Meanwhile, if a Democrat stands up and says this is wrong, you are the worst human on earth, anti-American, traitorous, because you dare call power into question. All these strong men,
manly men. Manly men living by manly men rules.
Yep.
And don't forget, Elon Musk now all interested about the Wisconsin Supreme Court race. Republicans hated Mark Zuckerberg when he was helping municipalities, didn't matter where you were, just run your elections to make sure, you had enough ballots and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That was bad. That was evil.
Yeah.
But Elon Musk planning to pour in millions and millions of dollars into this Wisconsin Supreme Court race, apparently that's just fine. Although Brad Schimmel says he was surprised by Elon's message when he talked about how important it is to vote Republican for the Wisconsin Supreme Court to prevent voting fraud. Schimmel said, quote, I don't know what's in Elon Musk's mind. Get in line. I've never spoken with the world's richest man. It was a surprise to me when he tweeted out something recognizing that I exist. So I don't know where he's coming from, unquote.
Brad Schimmel.
He almost sounds like he's flattered.
He's got words to use. He's really good at words.
He is excellent
at
words.
All the best words.
All the best words. Mark, I see you on the line. We are going to go to break, and then we're going to do an update on the traitors. They've been free for just about a week. What are they up to? Little update on the way. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. On Monday, January 20th, Donald Trump returned to office, sworn in as the 47th President of the United States. Right out of the gate, he took a number of actions on his top issue, immigration. Perhaps the most troubling of these is one aiming to end birthright citizenship in America. An immigration attorney I talked to told me, we're going to sit through a lot of BS over the course of the next weeks, months, and years, but this is the big one. My take? This action from the Trump administration is despicable, unconstitutional, and fundamentally anti-American. The day after the order was issued, Governor Tony Evers and Attorney General Josh Call joined a coalition of 20 states challenging this action in court. This legal battle will be a tremendously important one for all of us to follow.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
Selling your cattle is easy with American Foods Group, a family-owned company bringing you the best prices and expertise right from the dairy, ranch, feed yard, or local market. Call today at 800-345-0293 or email info@americanfoodsgroup.com.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself, surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories. Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Good morning and welcome back to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Jabba the Musk continues to actively ruin. Coming up after the 11:30 news, should John Gao get his job back as chancellor at UW La Crosse after making some movies?
We call them art films.
Oh, Jane, is that what we call them? And then we're going to wrap it up as we always do with this shouldn't be a thing. Today it's the Oh Baby edition. Stick around for that. We had been talking about Brad Schimmel, who was running against Susan Crawford to be on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. That election is in April. It's going to be here before we know it. It's going to happen really quickly. But before we move on, we have Mark from Prairie du Sac, who's been very patient. What did you want to say about getting to know Brad Schimmel?
Well, I kind of texted you a bit of the song from, if you remember, the musical, The King and I.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes, indeed.
And getting to know you.
And getting to know you and getting to hear all of, you know, learn all about you.
Yeah.
I don't care if you like, you know, I'm getting to dislike, I dislike him. I kind of wrote a little bit and texted it into you, but I dislike the man. I've disliked the man for years. I mean, mm-hmm. I can remember when he carefully arranged, you know, to reduce little Scotty Jensen's three felonies down to a simple misdemeanor when they, you know, said, oh, you can't have a Republican can't have a fair trial in Dane County. So they move it to Waukesha County and his buddy, you know, Brad Schimmel, you know, said, well, we'll just charge you with a misdemeanor. So you can go to making, you know, six figures a year working as a lobbyist for various conservative firms and that, and who knows how much money, you know, Brad Schimmel has, you know, taken in from, you know, from his buddy Scott Jensen and contributions and from the outfits that Mr. Jensen represents. I
mean, well, it's good to have, Mark, it's good to have friends in powerful places,
mm-hmm.
right? That's kind of the message here.
And I love that thing now is like they can't get fair trials.
That is the mantra going forward. Thank you, Mark. Really appreciate you checking in. We did want to do briefly an update on all the best people who got released who had been convicted of
treason.
Crimes.
They're traitors.
For attacking the Capitol on January 6th. So a little update for you here from Fox 59. Headline reads, January 6th rioter recently pardoned by Trump, shot and killed by Indiana sheriff's deputy while resisting arrest. 42-year-old Matthew Huddle of Hobart, Indiana, shot and killed during a traffic stop on Sunday afternoon. He had been pulled over by a sheriff's deputy. Indiana State Police say the traffic stop led to the deputy trying to arrest Huddle. Huddle allegedly resisted, struggled with the officer, which led to the deputy firing his gun and killing him. Huddle, January 6th,
mm-hmm.
just got out,
yep.
was in possession of a firearm during the traffic stop. No additional details provided, but the altercation between Huddle and the deputy and what Huddle was being arrested for. Federal sources confirmed Huddle was recently pardoned by Trump. He and his uncle were arrested. Huddle ended up being tracked down. They say he was in the Capitol for about 10 minutes, but was on the Capitol grounds for several hours. His uncle says, I have no regrets. I will not say I'm sorry. Another guy who just got pardoned. Houston man pardoned for January 6th crimes, now wanted for online solicitation of a minor. We hate pedophiles.
Yep. I mean, it's what the...
We hate child sex traffickers.
It's what the corrupt FBI, Antifa, and all the liberal left are all doing all the day long.
Andrew Tackey, 36, released from a federal prison in Colorado January 20th, despite a request from a local DA's office to hold him on a pending state warrant from 2016. The 36-year-old was originally sentenced to 6 years in prison after he pled guilty to using bear spray and a whip-like weapon during the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol.
Would you say, Jane, he pled what?
He pled guilty.
Oh, so he admitted he did wrong.
He did. But he's not, you know, his uncle's not sorry for
well,
it.
Well, no, of course not.
It's not. They're not sorry.
That's Uncle Not Sorry over there. He's
exactly.
not sorry.
And now, yes, he is in trouble for online solicitation of a minor. A couple of other things I have seen in various articles. A lot of the relatives of the people who have been released mm-hmm. are really frightened.
Yeah.
Now that they're out. Well, because, in case we missed it, a number of those people who were received full pardons have already had convictions for domestic abuse. But it's all fine.
I have a feeling that this is the first of a many, many, many installments of a segment we're going to be doing about all the best traders.
Well, and why wouldn't they think he was attacked? But again, why wouldn't they think that they're immune from prosecution going forward in their lives?
Well,
they already got pardoned for attacking police officers. In this guy's mind, I would think he felt he was perfectly justified.
Exactly. And
right?
That's exactly what we've been talking about for weeks now, is that he now has his own little militia all over the country who have pardons in their back pockets, and they're saying, I can do whatever I want because Donald J. Trump said so. What are you going to do about it, person at a Target?
Well, and I personally think that one of the reasons why they did not, go through these on a case-by-case basis is because when you got to somebody like Stuart Rhodes,
mm-hmm.
the head of the Oath Keepers.
Who was in for, 22 years?
He was convicted of seditious conspiracy.
Yeah.
Well, then you couldn't invite him to the White House, which is where Donald Trump wants him.
Where he's actually setting up meetings right now with various leaders in the Capitol.
Nothing to see here.
Seditious
conspiracy.
They are traitors. Someone call us and make it make sense. Why is this okay?
I'm sure, as you said, we'll probably have more updates.
Oh, absolutely.
As they become available, and we will absolutely share them with you. We have news on the way next when we return. So he was in a little movie.
It was a film. It was
an art film, as
a picture.
Craig says. Should he get his job back at UW La Crosse? That's on the way. Stay close. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
News from the Center, WRCE. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin.
Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz. The Richland Area Retired Educators Association rewarded one of its chapter school districts, Prairie du Chien, and the Richland Center Santa Teresa Sister City Project with its annual distribution of school supplies. RAREA has a long-standing commitment each December to collect school supplies for an annual distribution to two of its designated pre-K through 12 districts as a service project. Five large boxes were delivered to Prairie du Chien worth an estimated $350. The Sister City Project received a check for $350 that will be sent to Santa Teresa, Nicaragua for a school supplies purchase. The next RAREA collection and distribution will be designated for the Ithaca and Weston school districts with a projected distribution in mid-February 2025. April 15th is the individual deadline to file Wisconsin and federal income tax forms. However, that doesn't mean you must wait until April to get started. The individual income tax filing season begins today. This year, the Wisconsin Department of Revenue has several options for filing, including Direct File, an online service that allows eligible taxpayers to file directly with the IRS. The service now integrates with WisTax, allowing taxpayers to easily file state taxes as well. Also new this year, more qualifying expenses and increased maximum allowable credit amount for the Wisconsin Child and Dependent Care Credit. Tax filers are encouraged to visit the DOR website's individuals page to find answers to common questions, forms and instructions, tax credit information, payment options, instructional videos, and other resources. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Well, the 2025 Super Bowl is set. It will be the Philadelphia Eagles taking on the Kansas City Chiefs, which most people don't seem that excited about. The Chiefs will be trying to three-peat, something that has never been achieved in the Super Bowl era. The Philadelphia Eagles scored the most points in an NFL championship conference game ever, but unfortunately, they can't save some of those points for the Super Bowl. Here's hoping for a good game. Timothée Chalamet plays Bob Dylan in A Complete Unknown. The Oscar-nominated actor came under fire for a line he ad-libbed while playing an exercise class instructor, making a joke about recently deceased President Jimmy Carter. The joke was mostly met with cringe, but people who defended him countered it was just a joke. So to summarize, Chalamet, who plays a Nobel Prize winner in a movie, made fun of a Nobel Peace Prize winner on Saturday Night Live.
How noble?
For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Windy and warm today, with mostly sunny skies, winds will whip up to 40 miles per hour, shoving our high temperatures to near 50 degrees. Overnight, winds switch to out of the northwest, becoming blustery and cooling us down just a touch tomorrow. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 36 degrees.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Seems everywhere in the state, housing has just gotten so expensive. Our current president ran on promises to help the middle class, and I'd like to know what he's going to do about the housing shortages. I went through the executive orders. I read through the speech transcript a couple of times. Nothing he really said or did in the first couple days has anything to do with helping the middle class.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Where are you at with dome stadiums?
Oh, love them. Snow games are awesome, but it's also a risk of injuries and everything.
Give me a dome anytime. I don't want to see elite athletes running on snow like it's me playing out there and tripping and slipping. I want to watch those guys run. I want the receivers to run and catch their passes. I want to see great athletes being great athletes.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Maggie Dawn.
At the top of the show, I'll be joined by former Capitol Police Officer Harry Dunn explaining why Brad Schimmel should never be a Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
We'll be right back.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Sweet Kelby on the board, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. Join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Don't miss Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. It's a great way to round out your evening. If you want to unwind a little bit and have some laughs, check out Pete Schwabba from 6 to 8 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network. Tonight, he is welcoming Journal Sentinel entertainment reporter Chris Foran. In the second hour, Pete will talk to Wisconsin comedian Olivia Witt.
I love Olivia. She's such a nice person.
Awesome. So yeah. Join Pete tonight, 6 to 8 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. If you're looking for some laughs, we can all use those. Here is my question to you. In general.
Okay.
Should John Gow get his job back as UW lacrosse chancellor? Mm-hmm. John Gow and his partner didn't do anything illegal when they were making adult films. Mm-hmm. He got fired. The UW Board of Regents voted in September to revoke his tenure, John Gow now arguing in a federal lawsuit that his firing violated his free speech rights under the Constitution. His lawsuit says, as a public employee, Dr. Gow has a First Amendment right to speak as a private citizen on issues of public concern, such as healthy human sexuality and the best ways to promote strong monogamous marriages, unquote. A spokesman for UW declined to comment on the lawsuit, saying only the system doesn't comment on pending litigation. He served as UW lacrosse's chancellor from 2017 until he was terminated in 2023. So should he get his job back? 855-752-4842. You can email it. You can call in. You can leave a comment on the live stream. Should John Gow get his job back? Carol from Annawa, which is east of Wausau. Listening on WXCO, I am not crazy about what Gow did, but it so pales in comparison to Trump's horrific crimes, past and continuing, and he got his job back. Now he'll continue to commit crimes as president. Unbelievable. Bat blank crazy.
And that's sort of where I was. When you asked me this morning if I wanted to talk about this, my initial response was no, because I didn't think it was that interesting. And then I started thinking about it in the context of today's society of consequences, double standards, and do we really get punished for the things we do wrong? And I realized that unless there is a decency clause in his contract, which there probably is.
There probably is a code of conduct, kind.
But if it's broad, he can fight that. But the point is, he has done nothing wrong.
He didn't commit a crime.
No.
What he did is not illegal.
No.
Pornography is legal.
Yes.
So he didn't commit a crime.
And he was endangering no youths. I think he has a standing to get his job back. And frankly, in the climate of today's, I don't know, storm the Capitol and attack police and get released from prison, why can't he get his job back?
My question would be whether or not he will be taken seriously by students. Because I can only imagine if I had, just even saying it out loud just makes me go, ugh. If I had ever done something similar and appeared in such a film in my altogether, I would feel weird every time I entered a room knowing that this whole group of people has seen me naked. That would make me feel weird. And maybe that's a bigger reflection on my issues and my body issues, but I just think that there might be snickering in the hallways when he walks down the hallway going, yep, I saw his schmeckle.
Well, what you're presenting are two different holy personalities there. First of all, I don't think you would ever do that. You never, like, if there was a film with you as a participant, my guess, it would probably be not knowing that there was a film in the first place. And then you'd be like, oh, yeah. But if you willingly went into it.
Participated in
it. But remember, they were also making films to be seen as well. This was not.
This wasn't a hidden. This wasn't a private thing.
No one broke in their house and stole the information. So I'm assuming that this man is very comfortable with his sexuality.
Obviously. And which is great.
His body and all those things. So he's going to say to himself, you can have a problem with that and you can snicker all you'd like. That says more about you than it does me. I have a job to do, and that is teaching, and I believe I'm good at it. So allow me to do my job, and they can do what they want. Because also, kids don't have to go very far on making fun of stuff for adults.
Well, that's true.
I mean, to me, like, unless he has committed a crime, or they have proof that what he has done violated some sort of thing.
Code of conduct.
Exactly. Then he is entitled. I think at the very least, he's entitled to demand his job back. Now, a court will decide whether or not he does, but he has every right to say, I'd like my job back. I think, and this is the reason why. So,
should he get his job back? Should John Gao get his job back as UW lacrosse chancellor? 855-752-4842. I would really like to know what you think. Again, my argument is I wonder how effective he would be coming back into that. But you make a great point, Greg, about obviously he's not ashamed of it.
Yeah.
Human sexuality, it's a thing.
And if a student said, I can't take a test from you, you're a pervert. Well, okay, then drop the class or transfer schools. But those are your problems, not his.
Not his.
And you don't get to use his private life as a reason not to be able to function as a student. I don't want to say he is entitled to his job back. I don't like doing that far, but I will say he's entitled for his demand for his job back.
Well, and he's saying it's his First Amendment right.
This country loves the Constitution. We love that Constitution. We love the first, love the second.
We're kind of iffy on the rest.
13 through 15, they really feel like you can
get rid of those. Calvin, what do you want to say about this? You are the closest person to college age around here.
Well, I was going to add, just my opinion generally on the thing is that I think it's kind of like now that it's been blown up and publicized, it's like, why do you really even want the job back? Just seek some reparations. That sounds like a weird word to use, but like just recoup what you lost from being fired in the lawsuit. Like, why would you argue to get your job back? But also beyond that, like as far as like people like laughing in the hallway and like that kind of thing.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, the students are ultimately adults. So they should be able to handle themselves like adults.
Mm-hmm.
So I really think if this would have not got the media attention it got of, it could have just been kind of a quiet thing.
Would have gone away.
Not been a big deal.
Well, but I love the fact that you think that young people should act like adults when I know adults who don't act like adults.
Well,
tragically.
Let Calvin be your role model. I'm trying to think of the correct word. It's not. It wouldn't be reparations and retribution. It would be, it's a abution word. I can't think of the word. I can never think of the word. Well, I need it on the radio, Jane. But
restitution?
Restitution. Yes.
That would be the word.
Genius, Calvin. You're a genius. But I think when it comes down to it, he makes the question to say, I'd like my job back. Please give me my job back. The courts will decide it. And after that, if they say yes, that is the problem of the parents, the students, and the faculty, his coworkers and colleagues, to do what they want to do with it. They can either accept it or move on and do something else. But he shouldn't be vilified for doing nothing wrong.
He didn't do anything illegal.
No.
None of this was illegal.
You may not like it, but there's a lot of things out in the world that are happening that you don't like, that I don't like. And it doesn't, you know, this is not, to me, and I agree with Calvin, this is not a world-ending problem.
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
I'm just curious if folks think, you know, he should go back. 855-752-4842 if you'd like to chime in on this. Matt from Middleton, he absolutely should get his job back. I mean, most of us need a side hustle in America's broken economy.
True.
So how can we blame anyone for doing that? Ben from Richland Center, listening on WRCE. Unfortunately, we are now in the realm of morality rather than legality, which is not a good place to be.
That's an interesting point.
That is a very interesting point.
And I think the only way to fight that sort of the hypocrisy within that idea, because let's face it, the morality is never moral when it comes down to it, because there's always, it's just look at who's being arrested for.
Who's getting confirmed, for heaven's sakes.
Well, I'm like, but like, you know, you like the amount of people who work in churches who are being arrested for enticement and things of that nature. So the only way to stand up to the morality that's trying to take over is use legality. And if it doesn't go through, it doesn't go through. But he's making the fight.
Right.
He's fighting the fight right now to state, this is who I am. This is the world I live in. You don't like it. It's not my problem. I live in a country that you say is free.
It's true.
So.
It will be interesting to see how this plays out. Should he get his job back?
Should they make a movie about it?
A movie of the movie?
A movie of the movie.
That would be interesting.
I could see this becoming, if he gets his job back, I could see this being like a 5-part limited series on HBO.
Eric from Wauwatosa texting in, of course he should get his job back. He should never have lost it. Higher education shouldn't be a haven for puritanical attitudes and actions. Best of all, he'd be a celebrity professor. Students would flock to his class. He's obviously comfortable with what he did on his own time. You bet, Eric. He obviously has no problems.
The college could really work on getting a bigger endowment.
Oh.
Galvin?
Well, I will say my perspective might be a little skewed, because I went to UW-Whitewater at a time where they were going through chancellors, like they were running out of style. I know one of them resigned amidst allegations that her husband was sexually harassing female employees at the university.
I remember that.
So my like idea of what's acceptable behavior for a chancellor is obviously maybe this doesn't seem like that big a deal in light of some of other things chancellors have
done.
That's
a great point, Calvin, because again, John Gow didn't do anything illegal. He did not break any laws. He and his wife made some adult films to highlight their healthy sense of sexuality, which I think is a good thing.
Yeah. And also did Eau Claire, before this all happened, under his tenure as
lacrosse.
Chancellor, I'm sorry, lacrosse, sorry. Did lacrosse suffer under his tenure before they found out? Was he a bad chancellor? Was he bad at his job? If he was good at his job and he brought money in and he brought notoriety in and brought students in, then that's also something that needs to be looked at. Because as Calvin says, when you just get rid of somebody or people quit, you have to start all over.
Yep.
And the metrics get worse and worse, especially when you're like, well, why would I want to work at Whitewater? You've had 5 chancellors in 3 years. Something's wrong with this organization.
Yeah, makes you wonder about job security.
Exactly.
John from Oshkosh listening on WISS, morality for others, not for Trump and his stormtroopers. Doesn't seem to be flexible codes of morality, doesn't it?
I was really hoping we'd have at least one caller or listener who would say, like, absolutely not. Like honestly, take the line of, no, he's a perverted pig and blah, 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 blah. And
I don't know that you can take that line, though.
Really?
You want to, if that's how you, he's a consenting adult.
I know. No, no. Well, that, but you're using logic, though.
I'm
there
trying.
There are people out there who simply look at him and just say, like, pornography, school, children, and they're not children. They're adults, but they're still children. Bad.
Well, obviously, this wouldn't fly at, like, Brigham Young University. I can see where that might come up as a problem.
I don't want to know about the crazy stuff that's happened there.
That's probably a whole nother discussion.
Yeah.
You can always check in with us.
Yes, please.
Text or call or email as well at janesays, JaneSays, janesays at civicmedia.us. We will follow along on this story and let you know how things shake out, as it were. Coming up.
Oh, that was genius.
Thank you. Coming up, this shouldn't be a thing. Oh, baby edition. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is News from the Setter, WRCE. You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. The Equal Protection Clause embedded in the U.S. Constitution's 14th Amendment is now being used to dismantle the 1965 Voting Rights Act, opening the door to even more voter suppression. Why is its history important? The 14th Amendment passed in 1868 and granted citizenship to formerly enslaved African Americans. The Equal Protection Clause reads, "No state shall make or enforce any law which shall abridge the privileges or immunities of citizens of the United States, nor shall any state deprive any person of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor deny any person within its jurisdiction the equal protection of the laws." Scholars agree that it was intended to stop states from discriminating against Black Americans. Yet, as the National Constitution Center points out, it was also used to justify the U.S. Supreme Court's Plessy v. Ferguson, allowing discriminatory, separate but equal schools, transportation, and accommodations in 1896. Another interpretation overturned that decision in Brown v. Board of Education in 1954. In 2023, it was used to eliminate race-based affirmative action for college admissions. U.S. Supreme Court conservatives, notably Justices Alito and Thomas, argue any consideration of race is a violation of the Equal Protection Clause. How might their interpretation impact voting rights? More on that in our next report.
Carmelo Anthony for The Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, your innocence is proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presumed innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting the in-cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Welcome back to Matt Mayer on Air, Jane Matt Mayer, Greg Mock, Calviente on the board, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. I want to share one more text that came in. We were talking about John Gow, former chancellor at UW-La Crosse, who lost his job in 2023 after appearing in adult films with his wife. And he's now suing to get his job back. He says that's his First Amendment right. Scott from Madison texting in, listening on WMDX. I've seen plenty of stories, including about teachers getting fired over their OnlyFans page. I think it's time to move on. I think he is setting a standard by fighting this. Because, again, he didn't do anything illegal.
Yeah.
He didn't break any laws. We'll see how this goes on through the court system.
Go ahead, make another porno joke. That's fine. That's where we're at now.
It was completely inadvertent. I'm not even going to say anything more.
I'm just going to get myself in trouble.
I'm going to lose my job.
At this age, sometimes it just happens.
It's 11:53, Calvin. That means it's time for
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
If you ever have a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at Jane Says, JaneSays, Jane Says, at civicmedia.us. Today it's the Oh Baby edition from the New York Post, that bastion of journalistic credibility.
Truth and justice.
Asia Grace with the byline. Headline reads, "Yet another gender reveal stunt devolves into horror and confusion. Oh, crap. Oh, no." Amy and Brad Hamer were on cloud nine after finding out they would soon be welcoming a daughter until that cloud almost choked them to death. The 31-year-old fashion influencer from the UK and her husband shared a clip on her Instagram page showing the two of them sparking a smoke bomb before a room of giddy loved ones, waiting for the color. It's either blue for a boy or pink for a girl.
Yeah.
Once they set it on fire, the colorless vapor turned pink. indicating a little girl is on the way. Unfortunately, things quickly went downhill. Oh, crap. Oh, no. Yelped partygoers as the pink fumes expanded, flooding the room and leaving guests, including the pregnant guest of honor, coughing and gasping for air. The hellish hazy havoc. Ooh, kind of like that.
That's
alliteration.
Amazing.
That's nice. The hellish hazy havoc comes as the latest flop in a series of fantastically horrific gender reveal fails. Let's not forget Daddy-to-be in Brazil last May. Almost met his maker when a billowing blue fireball briefly swallowed him during a gender reveal gone wrong. He was only singed, though, and suffered minor burns.
You're having a dragon!
Anthony Spinelli of New Hampshire charged for disorderly conduct after he set off 80 pounds of an explosive compound mixed with blue chalk dust at a gender reveal in 2021. The force of the blast was felt miles away.
Yeah.
It knocked pictures off of our walls. I'm all up for silliness and whatnot with gender reveals. This was extreme.
When your gender reveal requires consulting a scientist
or a fire department,
that's when you know you've gone too far. And also, with the whole dry ice crew, open a door or a window or just walk out. Don't sit there and allow yourself to be choked by dry ice fog.
Can we not just have a pink or blue cake inside?
Exactly.
Does it have to always involve exploding things?
Well, people need to put it on the internets. They need their clicks and likes. They need to get followers and they need to get clout and then maybe a little bit of money and then they're an influencer because influencing takes zero talent.
I'm so sympathetic to their plight.
Well,
can you tell?
I could. Well, yeah. I mean, you used some choice words before the show about this story. So, yeah, I could tell. It's a girl.
Blue. Yeah. There you go. Have a card. Give him a pink ribbon. Something. Stay away from explosives. Can we just agree with that? Let's start there.
At least they didn't start a massive forest fire.
That's true.
Let's start that. That's how low the bar is.
We're grateful for little things.
Yeah.
That wraps up today's edition of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Greg will not be here.
Goodbye forever, everyone.
For a couple of days. He's heading off on a well-deserved vacation.
Thank you.
Calvin will be with me tomorrow. Emily Zephos is going to join us. Mm-hmm. Also, Dr. Kristen Lierley will be here to talk about Robert Kennedy Jr.'s confirmation hearing and the U.S. pulling out of the World Health Organization. Oh, it's all going to be just fine.
I got to say, even though I'm excited to get out of town for a little bit,
some good shows lined up.
Yeah, you got good guests and hosts coming through.
Angela Lang going to be here from Black Leaders Organizing Communities. Dan Schaefer.
You're going to have a job.
And much, much more. Enjoy your vacation.
Thank you very much. Have a wonderful time.
Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers. Without you guys, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening. It absolutely means the world. I hope you find some joy today, even if it's just a little bit, and you have the chance to share it. Keep it right here. News is next. On the Civic Media Radio Network, we will see you tomorrow.
From the Center, WRCE. Pete Schwabe.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Milwaukee Journal Sentinel entertainment reporter Chris Foran. Then I'm joined by Wisconsin native and Brooklyn-based stand-up comedian Olivia Witt. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
The Todd Alba Show.
The argument from my former party has been, it's not the guns, it's mental health. Well, no worries, folks. Governor Evers has got you covered. He introduced a plan to put millions of dollars into mental health, particularly for young kids. And the Republicans in the chamber did not clap. If you can't be it for kids, then what the heck can you be for? Jeepers, criminy.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Federal funding across most agencies now up in the air after President Trump ordered a temporary freeze. The White House's Office of Management and Budget now conducting a review. Democrats say the money has already been allocated.
They have until 5 o'clock today to comply with this and then have to report back by February 10th. But because of how sweeping those executive actions are, it's really not clear what comes under this memo from OMB. And the order is not specific, but it does cite foreign aid, NGOs that do work with foreign aid, diversity, equity, inclusion, and the Green New Deal.
ABC's Karen Travers. 29 people now confirmed dead following historic wildfires in Los Angeles County this month, the latest a victim of the Palisades fire. Tech stocks recovering from yesterday's drop due to the launch of a Chinese AI chatbot, DeepSeek, that offers cheaper AI models compared to U.S. models. This is ABC News.